Right now on VFN TV, driverless cars in 5 years. That's what Ford's saying. Also, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says a company right by his office, Mobileye, has been purchased by Intel to do that very thing, to run driverless cars. All these companies across the world and all this knowledge and data that's being gathered right now through this. What's God say about that? And the very ones who are running this artificial intelligence, they're scared of it. And they're getting a meeting, coming together to talk about morals today, right now on VFN TV.
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
So what Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence, and God put a mercy visit. Instead, he put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no. There's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us, you can't even see across the courtroom, he points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year. Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well, and ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It got repaired as soon as I took
it. 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's it.
I've known the president, and I've known his family and his team for a long time. and there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, we are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. I don't know if you call it the program. We had the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, gave his speech at the AIPAC. It was an awesome speech. You can see it at VFNTV.com. You can go to our YouTube channel and see it. But while he was talking, he said something very specifically about technology, about a company named Mobileye and Intel. And it just alerted me, what's going on? Because this company called Mobileye is going to be running all these companies that run driverless cars. First, let's go back to the AIPAC speech where we hear Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talk specifically about the technology that's coming out of Israel, which is a lot of technology. But also listen to him talk about Mobileye, which is a company located right by him, and what Intel, the company Intel, did. Take a look.
In this battle between modernity and medievalism, more and more countries in the region and outside the region, around the world, realize that Israel is on their side. Where terrorism threatens innocent people, Israel is there, with unmatched intelligence and counterterrorism capabilities. When people are suffering from hunger and thirst, as in Africa, Israel is there, with technologies that help feed the world's hungry and literally create water out of thin air. Where hackers threaten the critical networks of our lives, our banks, our transportation, and power plants, Israel is there with incredible cyber capabilities to help protect all of us. Where natural disasters strike around the world, Israel is there too, with rescue and medical services second to none. I'm proud of the unique contribution Israel is making to the world, a contribution to humanity that vastly exceeds our size. I want to give you an example of that. Last week, Intel Corporation bought an Israeli company, Mobileye. This is a company that produces driverless car technologies, the technology of the future. Now, Intel not only paid this Israeli company $15 billion, it also did something else. It gave them the keys. It said, you, Mobileye, in Israel, in Jerusalem, not far from my office, you manage and direct all our driverless car companies around the world. Because you see, as this example shows, and as you can see from many, many, many other cases, Israel is fast becoming a global technological power, and we're very, very proud of this.
So just think about this. That's right. He's saying driverless cars. Mobileye has been working for years now to be able to create driverless cars. And you think about them thinking, driverless cars? And you look at people driving down the road today, they're not paying a lot of attention today. They're looking at their phones, they're looking at their fancy, you know, interior, does all this digital stuff in their cars. And it's like, but I just can't imagine Bubba going down a dirt road in some computer, you know, driving him. But that's actually what they're doing. Intel gave them that $15 billion to buy their company Mobileye and said, listen, you run the company. You continue to run the company. As a matter of fact, we want you to run all of our companies. Intel said this. And Intel, by the way, if you don't know it, they are probably a part of every single computer that's not an Apple computer in the world, because they have an Intel processor right there running all this data in computers and that type of stuff. And they're saying, as a matter of fact, this guy right here you're going to have a perfect view of what it looks like in a driverless car, because you're going to be in that car. And we're going to make this available to you also. You can see a 3D inside of the VFN Torch. You're going to be able to go there and look around and just look all the different directions. But you'll see it right now. And it's just amazing. For 2 years, the car has been driving him to work in Israel, and he's never had to put his hand on the wheel. The car's doing all the work. As a matter of fact, let's look and see what a driverless car looks like today. Let's go there. This is Mobileye, the company that Intel just purchased for $15 billion and said, we want you to run all the companies that we have for driverless technology. Take a look.
If there is something worth experiencing, this is it. An autonomous vehicle which drives us from A to B. This car has driven me for the past 2 years now. And as you can see, I have nothing to do with driving. Our technology allows for a 360-degree analysis of the surroundings. The sensors around the vehicle compose the full driving scene. The vehicles behind us, in front of us, traffic signs, pedestrians, everything.
Oh, hello, Ziv. Oh, very nice. This is the car, huh? Very nice. Very beautiful car.
Hi, guys. Very nice.
Hi, Ziv.
Welcome.
How are you?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So, creative team, any ideas how to make this clip more catchy?
Yeah, well, we think we should make it very high-tech.
Yeah.
Because it's not just about the sensors.
We should introduce your amazing REM system, the mapping technology based on crowdsourcing. How you determine the free space, the drivable path, the driving policy, all of this state-of-the-art technology that's already in place.
Interesting. But maybe it's too complicated. I want it to be more about the outcomes of the autonomous revolution, like shared mobility, because it's going to make transportation much more efficient and much cheaper.
I've got an idea for that. Think of a gangster movie.
Imagine two gangsters loading a large package into the trunk of a car.
To the river.
Destination confirmed. The car drives by itself to another location with two other gangsters who then put their own package into the trunk. And the car drives by itself from job to job, just like that. And boom, what do you get? Shared autonomous mobility.
I'm not sure our legal department would approve it.
Excuse me, sir, but I think we should give a tour of the future. We are standing in an intersection without any traffic lights. And all the cars are so sophisticated that they cross the intersection without ever stopping. Just like in India. But with almost zero car accidents.
Well, these ideas aren't so bad. But I think the future is more about something else. It's about taking the driver out of driving so they can have more free time to do what's important, spending time with family and friends. The autonomous revolution has already begun.
The autonomous revolution has already begun. For 2 years, that car has been driving him to work. 2 years. And we have more information available if you're interested in the technical part of that at VFNTV.com. But this is happening right now. And the way that this can happen is because they're gathering all this data, all this crowdsourcing, everything you do, everything you say, everything you post, everywhere you're driving your car, these satellites that are crossing the earth, they're gathering all that data and putting it in one place in the car. They're giving the car that kind of knowledge base, and it's able to stay on the road. This is just crazy days. As a matter of fact, the CEO, his name is Z Aviram, he says specifically that this is the future. As a matter of fact, listen, he just finished speaking, explaining how it all works, and this is what we're going to make available to you via VFNTV.com. But listen to what Z says, the CEO of Mobileye, says about it.
So as you can see, the autonomous vehicle is not something futuristic. It is something that will happen very soon in our lifetime.
Very soon in our lifetime. As a matter of fact, Ford, think about this. This is what Business Insider says. It says there's 19 companies that are racing to build the self-driving car in the next 5 years. And Ford Motor Company says Ford is aiming to have its fully autonomous car ready in 4 to 5 years. What does this mean? How do we respond to it? What's all this data they're gathering? Is this right? Is this the way it's going? Will we even need cars in the future and buy our own cars? Right now on VFNT, we're going to talk about it. First, go to this break and we'll talk about every aspect of that. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'm not the son of God because you say I am. I'm the son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says he will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says he has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ. Strengthens me.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is amazing, isn't it, John, when you're talking about driverless autonomous cars?
It's awesome. You know, you think about it, and who doesn't like technology? Who doesn't like the fact that you can actually be in a vehicle and you don't have to drive it? It just takes you there.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you really got to start thinking about, what does this really mean?
Right.
How do we get there?
So, you know, you think about that the only reason these kind of cars can do what they're doing is because of all the data they're gathering.
Yeah.
They're gathering all this data on
us.
Everybody. You know, everything that you're doing. And they're putting it in one source. You know, we had the Watson computer. We talked about that on a previous program. You know, the Internet of Things.
Yeah.
You got to see that. If you haven't seen that program, you got to see that program, the Internet of Things. Because it explains, that's where they're going with this thing. I mean, not only your car, but your toaster, your refrigerator, and all this kind of stuff. And so you're looking at here that they're just getting all this knowledge together, just tons of knowledge, right?
The average consumer has no idea. They just know that when they click a button on their phone, they get the internet, they have an app, they have all these different things that are connected to the internet, but they don't know that there's serious technology that's gathering all their information 24 hours a day.
Right.
And they're sharing it, and it's only going to increase.
What you look at, how long you look at it, when did you turn off of it?
Who you shared it with?
Who did you share it with? How many times? I mean, all this different stuff. That's the reason why ads that come up that it's like, how does this company know that I'm looking for, you know, bananas or something?
In many cases, they know the person better than the person knows themselves.
Yeah. And what they're doing is they're using that data to understand you, and they call it marketing. But it's all going to be, John, in the very end, it's all about a business beast economy, really. It boils down to how you're going to do business. And so Revelation chapter 12, when he says that, you know, nobody can buy or sell without this particular identification number.
I think it's 13.
It requires wisdom. 13. And so then it's like, we're working our way to this. This is it.
Oh, yeah.
This is digital information, but driverless cars. I mean, can you imagine you just tell your car to go pick up the groceries from your local Walmart or something, and it goes right there because you ordered
them? Or pick up the pizza. I mean, come on.
Or pick up a pizza.
Yeah.
Right. So the knowledge, it takes knowledge. It doesn't just, somebody doesn't program in and say, drive down the street. They're gathering all this knowledge. This knowledge is coming together, just tons and tons of knowledge. And with that, they're able to program. And so basically the car system, the computer system, can kind of just weigh all these thoughts out, but not thought, but weigh out these logarithms in its memory, and it determines the path it's going to go based off Google Maps, based off their called cloud sourcing.
Yeah,
because everybody's information is going up in the cloud. Cloud meaning some technical device somewhere in some cave that's gathering this information. It's not a cloud up, it's actually probably a cloud in a cave. But it makes me think of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Daniel prophesied what it would be like in the last days. God's shown him visions about what it's going to be like, and he wrote it down. It makes me think about Daniel 12:4, because it talks specifically about this. When he gave them back then, you know, what it's going to be like in the end times, he said, now I want you to shut this up. He says, shut up these words and seal this book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, which is back and forth, with anxiety. So people are just going to be like, just stressing over everything. I've never seen so many anxious people that you see today. And he says, and knowledge shall increase.
Mm. Well, increase, it's definitely doing. The thing about it, when I think about this and I look at this mobile eye, is the fact that who doesn't like technology? I mean, we have washing machines today. We're not washing our own cars.
Right.
The fact that our clothes, we have cars and not horses.
Right.
But it comes to a point where we're exchanging our freedoms.
Right.
And then we have the whole question of morality. I mean, how far
is
enough?
Well, actually,
we're
going to be talking about that a little bit, because even these guys with AI, they're actually one of the top topics they're going to be talking about is morality.
Mm.
And they're the ones that, you know, is part of this whole knowledge base. But the thing about it is that, you know, what point do you say you don't want technology? Because they washed clothes on a rock.
Right.
You know, and we
and
actually,
can you opt out of it? I mean, right now people say, I don't want to get on the internet.
Yeah, but
well, right.
When you opt out of it and you pick the phone up, say, I'm not going to enter my information in this computer.
Right.
But you call the person and you say the company, and you say, listen, you tell them something, and they enter that.
Of course.
Into your name under the computer, and it gathers it.
So you don't have a choice. You are going to adopt into this technology.
Well, I think the thing is that everybody's trying to live instead of trying to lay down their life for God.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it boils down to, because people are trying to save their cookies and keep their stuff, and it's like, you know, we're called to lay down our life. So once you're willing to go to the furnace for what you believe, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, once you are willing to lay down your life for others, you're not constantly worried about all that stuff. You know, you're not worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to do what God's told you to do in this particular generation. This is definitely the digital divide that we're in. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I think about this. Even Elon Musk, you know, Elon Musk is the one that invented, you know, PayPal, along with some other people that people use today. He sold that company. He owns Tesla with this battery-operated car. A very intelligent man. But this is what he said about all this data and this technology. This is where he's quoted at an HBO event. It says, we're headed towards either super intelligence or civilization ending.
Wow.
This is huge. This is the
huge.
One who invented this kind of encrypted type stuff.
This is the one who wants to go to Mars and colonize Mars.
Well, that's the reason why he wants to go to Mars, John. He said that the only way that we're going to be able to survive what's about to happen on the face of the earth in the next 40 years is to whoever's on Mars will survive it, but whoever on Earth won't survive it.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Just think about that. In 5 years, Ford is talking about already building a car.
Which means it has to have all that data, and it has to be there.
And when you talk about the Internet of Things, everything's connected. I mean, technology is exponentially growing. So 5 years, they could probably do it in less time.
Well, you know, and so we're looking at, this is sort of like saying, okay, the plane's going to crash.
Yeah.
So that's over with. Let's just move on. Take your head, put it between your knees, right? It's just on the plane.
Yeah.
And brace yourself for impact. And that's all you can do at this point. And you don't want to brace yourself for impact by hiding out somewhere. You want to say, how can I share the gospel? How can I share the love of God? How can I be relevant, even if it's for an hour? What we're able to do now through technology, we're reaching over 203 countries in our first month of our launch of our brand new YouTube channel.
Yeah.
We're reaching, of course, over 100 countries through VFN television and the standard way of broadcasting and streaming, all those other ways as well. And it's like, it's a day that you can reach the world, and people are okay with that. And we'll be talking in a future program about this younger generation is receiving the gospel that way. But it also means the more people you're reaching, the more chance you have for persecution that's taking place. And so they're coming together, John. Like all these guys, like what did they say right here? They said Google's coming together with Facebook and all these digital leaders.
And Bill Gates and Stephen Hawking and somebody else is supposed to be all getting together and talking about this.
Yeah, Google, Amazon, IBM, Microsoft, Facebook, they're all teaming up and they're in this partnership on AI, and they're concerned about what they're going to protect us and them from this.
You're talking AI is artificial intelligence.
Yeah, artificial intelligence. And the first thing that's on their topic is, this is the quote, moral issues.
Say that they're concerned about moral issues?
Moral issues. When we get back from this break, you know, we're going to talk more about this. But first, a perfect timing. We have this offer for you. This is definitely time. This is time right now to get this free for any gift whatsoever. We want to send this to you. It's called Crossing the Digital Divide. The Digital Divide, making sense of our new digital culture. We got to figure it out. Driverless car in 5 years means all this other digital stuff is now. It's already happening right this moment. They're talking about just driving a car digitally. And so you got to have this. And understand this. If people in the past, when you think about the great divide that took place in America, we all lived on the East Coast and Northeast, you know, New England area and down to Georgia. It's like, we got to expand a little bit. Who's willing to go west of the Mississippi? Well, that's when they had the manifest destiny they talk about and going to the great divide. So the president said this. If you're willing to go out into the divide, great divide, and you're willing to stake a claim and you're willing to cause that land to be fruitful, we'll actually title deed that over to you. By the way, if you're listening to us or watching us right now west of the Mississippi, it's because somebody went. Think about it. They went west and they went into the digital, the west divide. And now we got to become light in the digital divide. We got to make our stand. Ever how long it is, we got to make our stand for God. As a matter of fact, here are the details how you can get this now.
Offer 2031, the digital divide. Making sense of our new digital culture. Where do Christians fit in this digital age in our culture? We are without a doubt at a point with technology which is like the continental divide in America. Which way will the water decide to go after coming all the way from Canada? Will it go east or will it go west? In this message, we'll take a raw look at the facts, such as Oxford saying 47% of jobs are at risk because of technology taking those jobs from truck driving to service jobs, to what one says is 15% of all the jobs on the earth. You'll be enlightened with God's word and how to look at the age in which we now live, and you'll learn how to approach it from a kingdom perspective. If you've been confused and not sure of how to approach this age of technology, you'll gain a clear direction. And I believe your mind will be transformed in how to operate in such a time and age. It's vital to have this wisdom. For we are close to the end times becoming now times, one of which is to do with technology and a beast economy and how we do business in the world. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, that's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2031, the digital divide, making sense of our new digital culture.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Does a federal employee have the right to read the Bible during their free time in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for the NWR Boys and Girls Club of America. I work in the military base there. And they don't have somebody to work their front desk. And I've been filling in for them. And they told me that I just sit there, say hi to the parents, and answer the phones. And I'm allowed to bring music, or I'm allowed to bring a book or something. And I had my electronic Bible sitting there on the desk. And one of the military men told me that someone had gotten fired for that before. And I better be careful, is what I'm doing against the law?
It's not against the law at all. And I'll get some of our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice and our legal staff to talk to you. The Bible's not a banned book on a military base. That's a really big overreaction on the issue, and they're clearly not giving you the law correctly. You have the right to have your Bible there during free time without any problem.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Sheila Dingus from Brandenburg, Kentucky, who's with Amway, said, John, I want you to talk about hesitation. Well, welcome to Minute with Maxwell. Whenever you hear me speak, one of the things you'll notice very quickly as I begin to share my heart with people is that there are many times as I speak, I hesitate. I'll maybe make a statement or a sentence that I want people to think about, and I pause. I sometimes even call it the pregnant pause. What I'm doing is I'm allowing a person's mind and heart to catch up with each other. You see, so many times what we see and what we feel are not at the very same pace. Hesitation is a word that all leaders understand because they realize timing is essential. Whether they're making a sales call, whether they're coaching for a person, there are times when you want to let the other person kind of mellow out and kind of marinate that thought, that idea that you just presented to them. You see, if you just speak at the same rate all the time, or if you live at the same rate all the time and you don't pause, you don't reflect, you don't stop, you don't hesitate, you don't give time for thought process, what will happen is you'll have a lot of experiences, but you'll have very little insight. You see, hesitation helps us to take our experiences and turn them into insight. So spend today giving some hesitation to your life and to what you share with others, and kind of let the mind and the heart catch up.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about driverless cars, this increase of technology. You know, what do we do with that? How God even spoke about this, you know, and think about the day of Daniel. It's just such a, you know, there's no way that he knew other than what God was revealing to him this day would come. But
God knew.
Yeah, they say that during one day, this is like a couple years ago, that enough information passes through our lives in one day that our great-great-grandfathers had an entire lifetime. I mean,
it's amazing.
Think about that.
That's amazing.
Which means you got to know. I mean, I think the enemy of good is a whole, enemy of good is a whole bunch of okay.
Yeah.
Or the enemy of great is a whole bunch of good. You got all this stuff coming at you. You got to pay attention. You know, what you know about God is the most important thing about you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking at all this information. We're being bombarded by all this data. And a lot of people think they know something because they have access to information. And
We didn't have Google, we'd be in trouble. I'm telling you right now.
So many. They really don't know us. I remember this particular Christian comedian. I guess he's a Christian comedian. He was saying that, you know, his audience is no longer 35 and below because they can't understand. And nothing, that's what he was saying.
Right.
Because what they're being taught is not how to actually work their way through a problem.
It's called critical thinking.
Critical thinking. And so he said they didn't get his jokes. You know, I don't think that's necessarily true, but a lot of schools are not teaching critical thinking, that type of thing. And so Elon Musk, the very one, he's saying that we're headed to potentially, you know, super intelligence or the end of civilization. And that's why he's actually going to Mars. And that's why him and the president, basically, they just signed a deal we had on our program. They're going to Mars. And in 2030, they're planning on being there. The idea is in 40 years from now that he's believing that America, as the world as we know, will be over because of an artificial intelligence.
It's amazing where we're even headed as a world. But, of course, in our country, what's unique to us is we have a constitution.
Yes.
But we're losing all privacy completely.
Right, which is a violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Fourth Amendment, plus we're losing our freedoms.
Right.
Because the more you give up, you know, the more technology
the more you
have,
share, the less freedom you have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you have the ethical dilemmas. These are very serious
Well, that's
concerns.
Where they are. They're actually coming together. These companies right here, which is Google, Amazon, IBM, Microsoft, Facebook, and others are teaming up this partnership with about AI, artificial intelligence. And their concern is the moral factor to this. And so they said their biggest top concern out of 20, I believe it is, the top one is morals. Because how do you morally do this? But the problem is, John, you know, when someone denies God, there are no morals.
There are no morals, right.
Morals come from good or bad. You know, how did God create things? And so where there's no morals, where there's no God, there's no morals.
Hmm.
Who's the one to say that this is immoral or this is moral, this is right or this is wrong? I mean, where does that come from?
Yeah.
And the guy who normally is like this that they're talking about, they say, this is good, and they say, this is bad. So they just start cranking out some ideas.
The person who's pushing the buttons behind the screen.
They're telling you what's good. And we're seeing that take place right now. We talked to, you know, some of the presidential candidates. One of them said, you know, we need to change some fundamental beliefs. We need to do these different things. Well, so Elon Musk, who's meeting, and he's deeply concerned about what's taking place. He's so concerned that he's putting, you know, $1 billion, I believe, yeah, into it. But he's talking about morals first. And look what he said. Look what Elon Musk said right here when he's talking about the Burning Man. The Burning Man is an event that they go out in the wilderness, and you see a man right there
in the desert, right?
And they basically just worship this Burning Man, and he said, you know, that he and his family go out there, you know, once a year, at least try to go out, yeah, there, and they meet out there. Some good ideas came. As a matter of fact, his son, a business, solar business, came to him reportedly out there, and he gave it to his cousin. And so the digital data gathering, folks, is Silicon Valley. That's all the data is being gathered. And so he said, this is what Elon Musk said, the one who's worried about, you know, how to do this.
Morals.
They're meeting,
yeah,
on morals. He says Burning Man is Silicon Valley. And
wow,
Silicon Valley is Burning Man. In other words, they're, yeah, one and the same.
They're one and the same.
The very first logo for Google, the very first doodle, little sketch,
yeah,
was
the Burning Man. Yeah.
And so, I mean, he's saying what is. And he's saying, you know, that's where the party is. That's where the stuff is. This is what's going on. We have all the details where you can find that. But, you know, and Elon Musk seems like a really interesting guy. I like his drive and his, yeah, push and that type of thing. And he's bringing some great technology. But, you know, but if you deny God, you know, if you deny God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you deny God, I mean, yeah, where's the morals in this? But he's so concerned about it. He's thinking in 40 years, reports are, that the world will be over as we know it.
Think about, yeah, what these CEOs actually know. These are the guys that are at the complete forefront of technology.
Right.
And then you have the CEO, or the founder, rather, mm-hmm, of Facebook, who's doing, right, a 50-state tour.
Right.
Just causes you to wonder, you know, right, absolute knowledge, absolute power. Where's this?
Well, remember our program where we had the young man in from Silicon Valley? He was talking about they're programming all these phones to cause people to stay with them all the time.
Mm.
And he said, it's just not right. Like 90 people controlling the behavior of billions of people on the face of the earth. And that's,
wow,
what they're doing. Small, yeah, amount of people is controlling behaviors. And this one company that Intel just bought called Mobileye is going to be running all the companies for all the mobile driverless cars.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and Intel's important because Intel's what's running your computer pretty, yeah, much, you know, unless it's a Mac right there. And I think about this, you know, this is what Glenn Beck said. He said, Elon Musk, Stephen Hawking, and Bill Gates are all warning about the dangers of artificial intelligence and are trying to figure out ways to ensure the survival of the human race.
That's amazing.
These are the ones, this is Bill Gates, who, you know, Microsoft, right?
World's most wealthiest person in the world, right?
Stephen Hawkins, you know,
yeah,
and then Elon Musk. And so they're concerned about it. As a matter of fact, you got to hear Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck was on his program. He's talking very specifically about this, and it just really will inform you about their concern about where we're going. Yeah, it's cool to have a driverless car, but what are the ramifications of all this? What, yeah, do we do? How do we best respond to it? But first, listen to Glenn Beck talk about that.
I want you to hear a story that is on Elon Musk and his billion-dollar crusade to stop the AI apocalypse. That's the headline. It starts with a story that I gave you yesterday in hour number one of this broadcast. And it's Elon Musk, and it's Demi Hassabis. And Demi and Elon are having lunch at SpaceX, and Elon says, I'm working on, this is the most important project for all of humanity right now, his trip to Mars. Pat doesn't even think that trip to Mars is going to happen.
Mm-mm.
It will. I'm telling you now, we will colonize Mars, and it won't be done by a government. It will be done by Elon Musk, and here's why. Demi says, no, you're not working on the most important project. I am. Now, he's in charge of DeepMind. DeepMind is the Google project that is gobbling up everybody who's working on AI, artificial superintelligence. And they are racing, Google and DeepMind are racing to artificial intelligence. Now, artificial intelligence is going to be fantastic. We will, through artificial intelligence, we're going to be able to figure out cures to cancer. It's so far beyond any supercomputer. It will be able to learn itself. You won't have to program. You won't have to build it. It will build itself. It will teach itself. It's true artificial intelligence. It is living intelligence. And it will be so far. We will look like mice to this intelligence. He said, Demi said, well, no. I'm working on the most important project for humankind. I'm working on artificial superintelligence. And that's when Elon Musk said, no, the reason why I'm going to Mars is to make sure there's a human outpost because you're going to get us all killed. Now, as crazy as that sounds, these conversations are happening. And they're happening a lot in Silicon Valley with some of the smartest people out there. People who agree with Elon Musk that this could be the end of all humanity within the next 40 years are Bill Gates and Stephen Hawking and a long list of others. But those are pretty prominent guys.
Okay. Wow. Is that powerful or what? That is so powerful. And so we are hearing it. He says, this is what God says about these days. He said, these things are going to happen. But it's going to take wisdom. And so that's why you got to stay tuned to VFN TV, because we're going to talk about this. We're going to hear what God's saying, and that how do we respond to this, and how do we make the most of our vapor of time on this earth to be able to tell people about the awesomeness. Because a lot of people are worshiping technology, and they say they're not, but they spend all their time, all their money, and they lay down everything for technology. Yeah. So that's worship, by the way. And so, but we're telling them about the real authentic reality of God who created everything, and that he knows all things at the same time.
He's better than any technology you can put your hands on.
Yeah, he is. And so we're about to go to break. When we get back from the break, we're going to drive this home in regards to, you know, what is this moral thing in regards to how they're responding to it and how should we respond to it? Driverless cars. Let's take a second look at Elon Musk, and he's the one that's concerned about it, but yet how is he going to find morals? I mean, I'm sure he's a good man, but how is he going to find morals in regards to that? And what did God say about this day after the break?
TV, where we're keeping the conversation live. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
In the 1970s, Malcolm Muggeridge said this: it is difficult to resist the conclusion that 20th century man has decided to abolish himself. Tired of the struggle to be himself, he has created boredom out of his own affluence, impotence out of his own erotomania, and vulnerability out of his own strength. He himself blows the trumpet that brings the walls of his own cities crashing down, until at last, having educated himself into imbecility, having drugged and polluted himself into stupefaction, he keels over a weary, battered old brontosaurus and becomes extinct. Having created boredom out of his own affluence, we have become so affluent and so bored at the same time. Impotence out of his own erotomania. We have become so erotic in our proclivities and in our desires, we have become impotent to natural drives. Having created now imbecility out of our own gains, we have made so much of progress in education and yet have become so imbecilic in ordinary choices. And now it's ready to keel over a weary, battered old brontosaurus to become extinct.
Welcome back. We're talking about driverless cars. If you missed the early part of the program, you got to catch it. Driverless cars in the next 5 years, Ford's talking about. They're already having driverless cars right now, and Mobileye's doing it. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was talking about it. They're meeting on it. They're concerned about artificial intelligence taking over. They're wanting to go to Mars to escape from what they believe is going to happen in 40 years. If you miss this program, you got to catch it all. But you think about it, their biggest concern right now, Elon Musk and some others are coming together to talk about 20 specific things, I believe, but about morals. The first thing they're going to talk
about thing is morals.
Is artificial intelligence, all this information that's thinking for us. But look what the Burning Man, what Elon Musk said about the Burning Man, because the Burning Man is where they go out into the wilderness to be able to
in the desert.
Worship.
It's a wild.
Silicon Valley is what you identify who has all this data and all this information, the artificial intelligence. And he says Burning Man is Silicon Valley. They're like one and the same. And so that's called idol worship, by the way, in case you don't know that. And God is a very jealous God. And he would have, so it's not, you know, and without God, there are no morals. There's just man's idea of what's right and what's wrong. And so you're looking at this, and all this knowledge is coming together, and they're realizing we're going to need some morals here. It's a perfect time to pray for those who are in this place because they're really searching for God in this, because they'll find that with God. But all this information happening, you can't run from it. It's happening. As a matter of fact, it was prophesied about and to Daniel, and Daniel wrote about it in the book of Daniel. It says when he told him what it's going to be like in these end days in Daniel 12:4, chapter 12, verse 4, he told him about it. Then he told Daniel to close up these books, shut up the books, and seal these books until the end, until the time of the end. Many shall run back and forth, to and fro. They're like anxious about it, and knowledge shall increase. And it's happening so dramatically that, you know, it's time to really seek wisdom in this. And God said very specifically in the book of Revelation, he says that this time requires wisdom, which means not knowledge, but wisdom is the proper application of the knowledge that you have. It's better just to know two things and be wise to know everything and not be wise. You know, they say that you promote a foolish prince into the palace and it's, you know, chaos.
Not a good thing.
But a loyal servant, who employee, he'll run the kingdom and it'll work. And so wisdom is what we need. And you ask, God says, if you ask for wisdom, he will give you wisdom. Well, I'm so excited about the optimism that's coming across America. And our president, President Donald Trump, is giving his weekly address talking about the optimism that's taking place in our country. Let's go there now, the weekly address.
My fellow Americans, a new optimism is sweeping our country as we return power from Washington and give it back to the American people where it belongs. For too long, American workers were forgotten by their government, and I mean totally forgotten. Their interests were pushed aside for global projects, and their wealth was taken from their communities and shipped across the world, all across the seas. My administration has offered a new vision. The well-being of the American citizen and worker will be placed second to none. And boy, do I mean second to none. Since day one, I have been fighting for the hardworking people of this country. And this week, we took historic action to continue delivering on that promise. We did so in one of the many proud industrial towns of our nation, Kenosha, Wisconsin, where the men and women of Snap-on, who make American tools for workers around the world, they were there and they loved what they heard and they loved what they saw. In Wisconsin, I signed an executive order to buy American and hire American. I took historic action to ensure that federal projects are made with American goods and to keep American workers and companies from being cheated out of contracts by countries that break the rules and break every regulation in the book to take advantage of the United States. That's not going to happen anymore. I also took action to reform our immigration system so that it puts the needs of American workers first. The duty of government is to represent the citizens of the United States, and that is what we will do. Whether it's removing job-killing regulations, protecting our borders, or unleashing American energy, we are keeping our promises and delivering for the American worker. During my visit, I talked about how America is a nation that honors work. We honor grit. We honor craftsmanship. We honor the skilled tradespeople who turn rock and steel and iron and cement into works of art and grace and beauty. There's tremendous talent there, believe me. The wrench and ratchet are not only tools, but instruments that help build cities out of deserts and send ships across the ocean. And the tools of craftsmen and the masons are just as important as the tools of the doctor and the dentist or the CEO or even the tools of politicians, believe it or not. And their work is every bit as noble. They take pride in their jobs, and we take pride in them. No longer will the concerns of these hardworking Americans go unanswered. By making government answer to our citizens, we are removing the limits on our future and setting free the dreams of our people. As long as we do this, optimism will continue to soar, hope will continue to spring, and this country we love will grow stronger and stronger day by day. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America.
Optimism is spreading across the country. This is the best of times.
This is so exciting because just a recent poll about people that just voted for President Donald Trump, and they said that they were still just as happy and they wouldn't have changed their vote. They still would have voted for him.
Right.
And as I'm talking to people all across the Gulf Coast, they're very excited about this president and the direction that this country is going in.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And you have a few folks that there's a couple people sit behind a board that are running what these people are saying at the front of the cameras.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, it's the majority of folks are like, hey, our country's safer. Even Syrians are saying their country's safer because of our president. Countries are coming together and allied forces to be able to stand up in the China Sea for what's going on in North Korea. And it's exciting. But I want to pray for you. We're about to end. We want to say, listen, this is a pretty dramatic program, but it's the reality. But God will give you wisdom. I'm just going to pray the Lord will give you and give us wisdom during this day. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Father God, for letting us know where we are. We just pray for all those that are gathering right now to find out how to handle AI, God, and they're crying out for morals. Lord, that they would find you, God, that you would just show up in a powerful way, God. We just pray for their salvation, God, for, you know, Elon and Bill Gates, and I don't know where Bill Gates stands, but we just pray, Lord, that you would just intervene in that whole thing, Lord. God, and that show them that you are the ultimate intelligence, not artificial, but you are intelligence itself and wisdom itself, God. We just pray for our audience, Lord God, that you would give them the wisdom that they need, Father God, and we ask you, Lord, to prevent this thing from coming to pass in such a way that it would destroy mankind. Put it up under your hand that it would be used, but used in a good way, Father God. We pray, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless. You know, there's something about when you first get saved. That the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they know. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through His awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.